How often do I confess the word, Pastor? Every day. Why? Because the devil talking to you every day. Anybody in here ever got a break from the devil? Anybody in here, the devil just take off a day? He there every day, trying to trip you up. So you have to be consistent, and you have to be diligent in that word. He's trying to put your light out. And he can't do it unless he can take the word from you. The word is a lamp for your feet, a light unto your path. Jesus said in Luke 4:4, Matthew 4:4, in both of them, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? That's what we're supposed to live by. So I'm asking you, are you living by the word? Are you letting the word guide your daily life?
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to tell you about my new book titled Praying Colossians 1. I'm excited about this new book because it teaches you how to pray the Colossians 1 prayer in a way that is practical, insightful, and relevant for our lives today and guaranteed to get results. You will pray the perfect will of God and be able to put into practice the principles that are outlined in this prayer. You will also increase your faith and experience a closer walk with the Lord. Your prayer life will never be the same again. To obtain your copy of my new book, Praying Colossians 1, go to our website, www.thewordcc.com or amazon.com. Or you can obtain a copy by calling 318-442-8100, and we'll get it sent to you right away. The book is available for $7.95. Order your copy today, Praying Colossians 1. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Get your Bibles, stand on your feet. Psalm number 1. We talked about, are you happy where you are? And we got to verse number 3. And I want to pick up at verse number 3. And it says, Psalms number 1, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I ask, are you happy where you are? But I just want to do a spin. This would be part two. But I want to turn it backwards and ask where you are. Are you happy? And it has much to do with understanding the text, where you are, because the text clearly says, again, and he shall be like a tree planted. And we'll come back and deal with that. The reason why I can't start in verse 3 is because the first word is a conjunction, which means that it ties together that preceded it. So let me back up to verse 2, and it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. But I can't stop here, because the first word of verse 2 is also a conjunction in the word but. So let me go to verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And at 7 o'clock, I dealt with those two, so you can definitely get the CD on that and deal with it. I just had to read that to help you understand that you could never experience verse 3 without having understood verses 1 and 2. Now we get to 3, where it says, and he shall be planted. Again, I've taught this text before. I want to share some new revelation on the word. Now, if he is going to be like a tree, now there are two things that we need to compare with in this number one song. There are two comparisons also that we need to look at, because one of the things you're going to see is that they compare, again, the saved and the unsaved together. They deal with the righteous and the unrighteous together. One of the things that it does is compares the righteous, who is compared to a tree, and the unrighteous, who's compared to chaff. Now, here's the comparisons. When you look at the tree that is stable, stout, and strong, and you look at the chaff that comes off the tree, the external parts of the tree, the exposed parts of the tree, those parts that are weaker, when the wind blows, those parts are the things that blow away first, because they really don't have substance nor stamina to stand against the storms. And the wicked is clearly marked as those who cannot stand during the times of the storms. So the righteous, dealing with a tree that is planted. If it is planted, it is purposefully placed in position to grow in that area. Understanding the difference between planted as opposed to wild. Wild is not planted. Wild is not supported. Wild is not irrigated. Wild is not cultivated. Wild has to do with that just happened to be where it is. But when you recognize that the righteous isn't where they are by chance or happenstance, the record is, and ye shall be like a tree planted. So when you know you are where God wants you to be, you've got God taking care of you. He's doing the cultivation and the irrigation so that you can grow the way God intends for you to grow. Unlike the wicked, who grows wild in various places, but they do not have a support system to maintain or to encourage their growth. Now listen at this again, because verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now that's an interesting analogy, by the rivers of water. In Hebrew, it comes from two words, peleg and meyim. And what it means is, it references in the Eastern culture, in a large garden, the irrigation flows of water that came from four different directions. So if perhaps one source of water dried up, and if perhaps in the course of the season another source of water dried up, there was still another course of water from another direction, and yet still another. And it is supposed that never in any given seasons would all of the sources ever dry up. Sometimes stuff might not flow like you want it to flow, but if you are where you are, I can promise you it won't dry up. Listen at me, somebody. And he goes on to say, because this is interesting, he says, not only is he like the tree planted by the rivers of water, the word says, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now listen at this. His season means his expected time. Now let me say something about the wild versus the righteous. The wild tree that grows doesn't have an expected season. It just blooms when it blooms. It happens. There is a season for it, but it's not expecting it. That's like so many believers who act like wild trees when they get blessed.
Yeah. All right.
They're surprised they got blessed. My God, this happened to me. You weren't expecting it to happen to you? See, the planted tree who is irrigated and cultivated by God knows that there should be a daily expectation of the blessings of the Lord overtaking them. I ain't looking for no little bitty blessings, though I thank Him for them. I'm not looking for a nice little amount of blessings, though I thank Him for them. My expectation is of Him blessing me so much that it overtakes me and throws me down till I can't handle all He's given me. Some of y'all are looking at me like, I ain't looking for that kind of blessing. And that's why folk hate on you when you get those kind of blessings, and they're not looking for those kind. See, you got to understand, notice the word is in his season, in his expected season. Now, this is important because you need to understand, one day if you're planted where God wants you and you are irrigated and cultivated by God, what do you think he's doing all of that for? So that you can be productive and fruitful and be in abundance, so that people will see that the God that takes care of you is able to deliver in your season a multitudinous blessing so great you can't handle it all by yourself. Small minds think of small things. Medium-sized minds think of medium-sized things. But large minds think of... Some of y'all got the mentality, Lord, just help me make it through today. Lord, I just want to pay my bills. Have me a little food to eat. Give me a little car to get me where I'm going and back. It ain't got to be all that. And that's just what you get. God answers your prayer. He meets you right where you are. Lord, I just want you to bless me enough. I ain't trying to be rich. I can tell you, you won't ever be rich. That's your confession. See, I don't know why church folk lie like that, you know. Anyway, you bless me. That's folk who don't have an expectation. See, because the closer you get to him, you expect what he says. Not any kind of way. Anyway, you bless me means you don't know how he blesses. Because see, when I get sick, I expect him to heal me. When I get low, I expect him to raise me. When I get troubled, I expect him to give me answers and give me peace underneath the skin. When I'm sorrowful, I expect the joy of the Lord to be my... Y'all not hear me. When I get broke, I expect him to bless me with money more than the needs I have. That's an expectation in my season. And a whole lot of believers don't expect the Lord like that to do what he says. And so they confess negative things and little things, and they get them. And then they get mad when other folk get large things and great things. And they're like, Lord, why you didn't bless me like that? Because you said it didn't take all that. So don't get mad because you're not getting what I'm getting. You didn't request it. You didn't expect it. You weren't in your place and receiving what God had for you. Here's what you need to know. If you are planted, it means you have a particular place. You can't get blessed in my space.
Yeah. you over here. Stay right here, because his expectation in your season is going to show up right here.
Let me move on. Listen at this word. The word says, his leaf also shall not wither. What does that mean? It's portraying a rich and fruitful Christian life. His leaf also shall not wither. Means that there is such substance underneath the skin or underneath the ground in the invisible realm that when everything else is drying up and everything else is falling off, the leaves that represent the condition of the tree that says by just a glance or a look whether or not that's a healthy, productive tree, the leaves that advertise and broadcast that everything is well beneath the ground, the leaves, when the seasons have changed, and you've noticed that there are some seasons that change and the leaves change with the season. But there is a tree that grows and is irrigated year round and cultivated whose leaves shall not wither. I got news for you. Even when you're going through some troubled times, your leaves, well, you don't look like you're going through no hard time. Your leaves shall not wither. When you're going through the valley of the shadow of death and folk look at you and you look like you're on the mountaintop, it's because you've got a power in you and a strength and a source beneath you that keeps you looking like it's well with your soul, and it is, even though you're going through what you're going through. They can't tell it by looking at you. Your leaves shall not wither. That's what God promises to those who are planted by the rivers of water. Listen at this. I'm not through yet, because the Bible goes on to say, and hear this well. Listen at the last part of verse 3. And conjunction. Whatsoever, somebody say, unlimited. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Unlimited opportunities, unlimited ways, unlimited arenas, unlimited areas. God says whatsoever the planted, those who are irrigated and cultivated by God's word and his spirit, those who are where God wants them to be, whatever they do shall prosper. One of the things that people mistake is the fact that material prosperity is as much the will of God as your soul and your physical health.
That's right.
Did you hear what I just said? Now, there are some preachers who might think, you know, prosperity, and they talk against prosperity. That's one of the foolish, most foolish things I've ever heard a preacher of the gospel ever say. Now, let me help you understand something. The only people who cry about prosperity are those who are suffering poverty. Rich folk don't complain about being rich. Lord, I'm so sick and tired of all this money. I'm so sick and tired of having to choose what car I get in. I'm so sick and tired of all these suits I got to put on, shoes. I get tired. I got to wake up an hour early to figure out what I want to put on, stuff I ain't even put on yet. I'm so sick and tired of having so many different places to eat at. Y'all get the picture here? Rich folk don't talk crazy like that. I'm so sick and tired of buying something else, being blessed, or investing in this. You don't hear rich folk. You hear poor people, poverty-stricken people with small mentalities talk like that. Listen at this. It's an indictment against God and a downright shame for the people of God to talk down on prosperity when God wants you to be the head, not the tail, on top, not the bottom, to be rich and blessed, to be a blessing to those who need it most.
Amen.
He said he's going to transfer the wealth of the wicked to the righteous. Well, make sure you ain't in that number when he starts transferring the wealth, because you don't want to be blessed just spiritually. You want to be spiritually fat and physically, financially, and naturally skinny, poor, malnutrition, whatever you want to call it, that's you, boo. God ain't in that. I'm going to tell you from Scripture. He is not in that. Now listen at this. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now here's the point that you need to recognize. If you got your spirit right, the spiritual nature right. Let's go to 3 John. Back up to Revelation if you don't know what it is. And then you'll pass Jude and then you'll get to 3 John. If you don't know where 3 John is, not St. John, 3 John, go to Revelation. And right before Revelation is Jude. And then right before Jude is 3 John. Verse 2 says this. Beloved, I wish, or translated pray, above, somebody say above. Above all things that thou mayest do what?
Prosper.
Now before you get holier than thou, if you check it out, it ain't just talking about in the spirit realm. John begins to make it clear again. And be in health. Listen at this. Even, somebody say even, as thy soul prospereth. Now here's John's message. He says, if you are spiritually blessed,
on
top, he said, my prayer for you is that everything in your life be balanced. Your financial life, physical, material blessings in that realm, and your health, all of them be on the same level as your soul, which means that the priority is that you get it right with God first. And when you get it right with God first, everything else ought to fall in place. Are you hearing me here? It's something biblically wrong for you to be spiritually right and suffering in the physical and financial realms when the promise is and the prayer is that you be blessed in every area.
Come on now.
God's made the promise. The question is, have you received it? Well, look at this, because again, we're not just stopping there. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Turn that with me, if you will. And look at verse 7 and 8. Verse 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. And it says, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. Now listen at this. If God could set the world on pillars, do you think he's got a problem from lifting you up from poverty? Are y'all hearing me here? You ought to determine you aren't going to be poor no more. You ought to determine in your own spirit, God make it rich, not man. You got some folk who would never make you rich if they had the power to make you rich. But isn't it good to know the word says, God make it rich? But don't forget, if you get high-minded and think you all that by yourself, the word says, and he also make it poor. So there is a balance there in understanding that truth. Let me move on to another scripture to help you understand that material blessings are as much of the promise of God in prosperity as is your physical and your spiritual realities. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Let's look at verse 5 through 9. Joshua chapter 1. And the Bible says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest do what?
Prosper
where? Prosper whithersoever thou goest. Listen at this again. What is ever your endeavor, what is ever your direction, what is ever your desire, if you are straight with God, God will prosper you.
That's right.
You have not because you ask not.
Right.
And then those who do ask, they ask amiss, the wrong way, out of context. You can't ask God for stuff if you don't belong to God and aren't in your place. And once you're in your place, you have a right to receive from God what God promised to you. If you branch out and desire to do what God has given you the ability to do, God said, wherever you go, you're going to prosper. You don't have to stay in one place all your days. I'm not talking about physically or spiritually. You got to be there with God, but I'm talking about physically. God can move you from one place, from one job, from one situation, wherever it is, because here's what you need to know. There are times and seasons in your life where you've got to go into different arenas to get more than you're getting now.
That's right.
Some people are afraid to move because they've got a little success here, but what they don't understand is all here can provide is little success. Sometimes you got to move to a wider area and then get into a place where you can spread out wide.
Amen.
Have y'all seen those little bitty trees? What do you call them? Bonsai trees? Whatever. Do you know why they stay small? Because they are cultivated to stay small.
Come on now.
They are cut, clipped, and kept in a small position. Some folk are like bonsai trees.
All right.
You're in a place where you'll never get bigger because somebody's always clipping you every time you try to grow. Every time you try to branch out, somebody's you growing too.
All right.
Y'all ain't got to say amen. You might want to say ouch. Now, what may amaze you is those trees can grow very, very large. Very large. But some folk like them little and cute.
Yeah, right.
And that's how some folk want you to stay.
Yeah.
Don't want you to grow and get big and outgrow them and move beyond where they are, because then they can't clip you when they want you. They can't keep you small. They can't be in control of you.
Right.
And so you've got to know sometimes that what God has placed in you is in you no matter where you are.
Yeah.
Amen.
You've got to be planted in Him and not just in the ground.
That's right.
You've got to be grounded in Him.
That's right.
But know that wherever you go, whatever you do, when you are connected with Him, you shall prosper.
Amen.
If you're afraid to reach out, if you're afraid to go beyond the comfort zone, that's what you'll always have.
That's right. No.
See, God has birthed some things on the inside of many of your spirits, and you're too afraid to move from that comfort zone and too afraid to step out and try God, because what if this doesn't work? Well, the Word says whatever you do shall prosper. The first thing you got to do is get rid of that negative mentality. Well, I don't see how I'm going to make it. Do you see the one who can make it for you? That's all you got to do is get your eyes on the Lord, and He'll show you how to work stuff out you cannot see for yourself. When you look at where you come from, did you know when you start that you would know every step you made to get here? No. Well, how do you think it's going to change for the future? The Bible says the just shall live by faith.
That's right.
Yes.
Come on.
So your breakthrough is dependent on how you see yourself. Because I got news for some of you. Right where you are, you're going to have a breakdown. Your blessing is going to be when you break through where you are and go to where God wants you to be. But I don't know nothing else to do. Trust God. And God will open up a door. He'll open up an opportunity. He'll give you a way to get from where you are to where he wants you to be. But when it comes, you've got to be ready and